Welcome to Shahada Stories, the podcast. Shahada is the Muslim profession of faith. Each episode, we will be sharing the true stories of the circumstances that led up to everyday people of different faith backgrounds making the choice to become Muslim. We will also be sharing the stories of people who have always been Muslim but experienced challenging moments that led them to renewing their faith. I am Hannah Hassan, and Shahada Stories is my passion project. Each week, I will be joined by my husband, Jamal, and he will help me bring these stories to life. Let's get started. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. It's me, Hannah.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Kareem. It's me, Jamal.
And we're here for another episode of the Shahada Stories podcast. We're really excited this week to share two new stories with you. The first story that I'll be sharing, it's called Breaking Up with Jesus. And it's really just about a young woman's experience with going through, learning about Islam as she was in college and her journey. So it's one of my favorites, and I can't wait to share after the story sort of some of the background stuff of when I did the interview. So it's going to be really exciting. Jamal, you want to tell them about yours?
Yes. The story I'm going to be sharing is about a Syrian refugee and his struggles in his country and the things that led him back to strengthen his faith in Islam.
Okay. All right. So we won't waste too much more of y'all's time. Please listen intently, and we look forward to you sharing your feedback on social media with us and on here on the app if you'd like. But we'll tell you a little more about that at the end. We're going to hop into these stories. Assalamu alaikum. Breaking Up with Jesus. I was a happy Christian, a very happy Christian. I was not seeking a new religion. I wasn't going through some type of major life moment that required me to rethink everything that I had been taught. I was a college student, inquisitive, curious Christian. So when I saw her that day, all wrapped up with her long skirt and head covering on, I naturally had questions. She was in one of my classes. She was very warm and receptive. After a while, I would shoot out my questions, mostly derived from news stories that I had heard, and she would answer. I wanted to know about Islam because I like to know stuff. I like to know a little bit about everything. So if I'm ever in a room and a conversation comes up, I want to be able to add something of value to that conversation. The more we would talk, the more she would break down those stereotypes that I had in my mind about what a Muslim, specifically a Muslim woman, was. So then one day she invited me to a gathering with her other Muslim sisters. I was so nervous. I didn't quite know what to expect. I made sure to drive myself just in case I needed to make a swift exit. However, I determined fairly quickly that into the evening that there was no need for that. I was so surprised. These women were intelligent, funny, friendly, and really cool to hang out with. They were nothing like what I expected, so I came around more often. And then what started out as a journey for knowledge became a feeling of something much more. I felt excited about what I was learning, but scared about what that meant. If I chose this new way of life, what would that mean for my old way of thinking? At the center of that was the fear that I would lose the focal point of my faith, Jesus Christ. Remember, I did not come looking for this. I was happy with being Christian. I was in fellowship of Christian athletes in high school. I used to walk around saying that JC was my main man. I was Christian. I did not seek this out, but it was chasing me. I was conflicted. I could tell this was going to be a process. So I went on a quest to learn more about Islam. I spent about a year reading and going to Juma. I fasted some of the days during the month of Ramadan. If I were to be a Muslim, I was going to baby step my way into this. This was a mental and spiritual journey that I had to put a lot of prayer into. In my most earnest prayer, I would ask God, God, show me what path you want me to take to serve you. Is it Christianity? Is it Islam? Is it something else? God, show me what path you want me to take to serve you. It was extremely emotional, but I asked God to be very clear. I recognized that this was a serious matter. And on Wednesday, May 6, 1998, I made that prayer. Asked God to show me what he wanted for me. And then I opened up my Quran. I opened it directly to Surah 5. My eyes scrolled to the end of Ayat 3. Chills. And there in front of me was my sign. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This day have I perfected my religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. It was as if God were speaking directly to me, giving me the blessing to move forward with what was already in my heart. I immediately picked up the phone and called the sister. I told her that I was ready. I asked if we could plan for me to take my Shahada on Friday. She said, no, we do it now. I said, I want to do it at the masjid. And she said, okay. I went to the masjid. They were so efficient with their communication because when I got there, I was met by an array of people waiting there for me, waiting for me to declare my faith. This was right for me. At this point, I knew going into Islam meant that I didn't have to lose or forget Jesus. Islam actually helped me to see him in a greater light. It helped me to understand him as a prophet of God. It brought clarity. So here I was on this day, standing before my new brothers and sisters in Islam. I declared my faith and I stepped into a new, greater version of myself. The sisters hugged me. They gave me gifts. They asked me to pray for them. They held me tight and told me that I was pure and clean like a brand new baby. And then one of the sisters whispered in my ear something that I have never forgotten. She said, "Don't think that because you said you believe that you won't be tested." And of course, I've been tested, but my faith remains intact. When I started on this journey, I was just seeking knowledge. I could have never predicted that on the quest for knowledge, Allah would bring me complete understanding. We plan, He plans. Allah is the best planner. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. All right, so we just heard Breaking Up with Jesus. This is one of my favorite stories. And the reason it's one of my favorites is because I remember the interview so vividly. It's actually one of the first interviews that I ever done. And when I was speaking with the sister, the part where she talks about opening up her Quran and going straight to the surah where she sort of had those feelings where she knew at that point that she was to become Muslim, we both started crying when she was telling the story. And for me, it gave me chills. Like, it made me feel like, no, I knew that, like, Allah will show you what you need to see in the moments that you need to see them. You know what I mean? She had spent such a long time on this journey studying Islam. It was over like a year. And She's a very cerebral person, so she needed everything to make sense in her mind. And the amazing part is the moment that she knew she was ready to become Muslim was when it made the connection with her heart. So I love that. And so I love that story because of that. What did you think of it?
Well, it paralleled a lot of the story of, like, my journey coming to Islam. Like, one of the bigger things that I was thinking about was exactly what this story was about, was turning your back on Jesus. Like, mm-hmm. I was Christian for many years. And, you know, to someone from the outside looking in, you're figuring like, oh, I got to, you know, take on this new religion. Like, I got to start worshiping a new God, and I got to do this, that, and the third. And it's like, you know, a lot of them don't even realize that the prophets that you speak about in the Quran are the same ones that are included in the Bible. And that it's not that you're going to be worshiping some foreign god from Like, it's funny because it's like, you know, it's like you think you're going to be worshiping like some foreign god, but and it's like Jesus was from the Middle East, just like the Prophet Muhammad SAW was from the Middle East. So it's not foreign because they were in the same area. It's just at different times. And, you know, it made me harken back to like my story because it's a big step. Like, you're leaving almost like everything that you've ever known. Like, and then you actually have to admit to yourself, like, some of the stuff that maybe I believed in and maybe I put, you know, time and effort into might have been wrong.
Yeah.
And you might have been wrong these years. And, you know, and then thinking about, you know, like, what is this going to mean for me, like, in the future? Like, what is this, where is this going to lead me to? It's like a, you know, it's like a big open, you know, space that you don't know exactly what it's going to lead you to. And, you know, it can be scary at times, you know?
Yeah, I think that oftentimes the thing that I've found when interviewing people who have left Christianity most of the time to Islam is that fear of like, what does this mean for my relationship with Jesus? Mm-hmm. And I think a further extension of that is, what does this mean for my relationship with my family and the people that I know who all believe the same way? And this is how I've been raised to believe. And I have these traditions and things of that nature. I think that people have to give themselves a chance to mourn the loss. And it's not that you're losing Jesus, you're just gaining him in a new way. But I think it's more so learning to mourn the loss of their maybe traditions and experiences and things of that nature. I believe that can probably be such a scary space to be in. It takes a lot of courage to remove yourself from something that you have known to be your truth for so many years into a new space. And that's why I have so much respect for people who choose belief, who choose faith, because they feel like if they're not choosing what they know to be the truth, that they're lying to themselves. But I know that it must be so difficult.
Oh, most definitely. Like, the crazy thing is, I've known people who, you know, I've talked to about Islam, and you know, I've known people, other people probably had this experience before also, but I've had people say to me, like, you know, I believe in what you're saying and everything, and you know, I can agree with the points you're making, but bro, I can't give up this pork, bro. I can't give it up, bro. You be like, seriously, like, you gonna sit there and say you agree to all of this stuff I'm saying and it makes sense, but the one thing that'll keep you from doing it is the fact that you can't give up the pork. Or you know, it may
Christmas.
Be the Christmas mm-hmm. time, or even something like just praying five times a day, like, you know, like, man, like, I don't know if I can do all what y'all be doing. Like, I believe in what you're saying, but I don't know if I can be doing all that.
Well, I just believe that this way of life is not for everybody. And, you know, maybe there's some people who would dispute that, but that's just how I feel. But this story, again, is one of my favorites. It's one of the first interviews that I ever conducted. And it's just, it makes me feel just good. It's a story that, you know, had a good ending and, you know, was something that I feel like a lot of people who come into Islam can connect with, especially since she found Islam in college. You know, that's that time of deep understanding of when you're finding yourself. And I'm so glad that, you know, she was able to say, like, this is something that I want to learn more about just for the sake of learning, and look what it brought her to. So, all right, any last thoughts, Jamal?
Let's see, last thoughts. Just the fact that, like I was saying earlier, it reminded me a lot of, you know, like the feelings I had when I was, you know, thinking about becoming Muslim. And even with the fact of, you know, like her saying, you know, she wanted to wait a little bit. I remember when I was thinking about it, I was a little tentative myself, and I was like, let me, like, I had in my mind thought, like, okay, I'm going to become Muslim. But I was like, let me just wait a little bit. Let me, you know, wait till this date, or wait till, you know, a couple months from now, and, you know, then I can get everything lined up. Well, let me wait till I finish reading all of the Quran and reading all of these books and stuff like that. But, you know, The thing about it was, is that basically I was just stalling.
Yeah.
You know, I was stalling because I didn't want to have to make that big of a change, like, so soon. And I was like, well, you know, let me just read the Quran a few times and just make sure this is what I want. But I like the fact that, you know, in the story, she was like, you know, I want to do this in public. I want to do this on Juma. I want everybody to see it. I want to, you know, do it for the community. And, you know what I'm saying? It's beautiful. I think that, you know, for me, I went ahead and, you know, I said my Shahada as soon as, you know, I could. And
Wait. Don't tell too much of your story now.
All right.
So you guys, Jamal's going to share his story on a future episode. So I don't want him to get too much into it.
Okay. I'll ease back.
All right. All right, y'all. Hold tight with us. Don't leave us yet. We have one more story coming up and some commentary behind that as well. So, yeah, just hold tight and get ready for our next story.
Seek refuge. 7 years, 4 months, 8 days. I was a political prisoner in Syria for 7 years, 4 months, and 8 days. Before I was in prison, I was in the military. I joined the military to protect my country. Then, the president decided that we would go into the city. I refused to go. The military is for country, not to murder innocent civilians. When I refused, they held me in the prison without court. It was just an investigation, constant investigation, torture. They broke my nose, cut my tongue, burned me with cigarettes. I still have the burn marks on my hands. You can see the slice down the middle of my tongue. I didn't see my family for the first 3 years. Nobody knows where I am. My mom was searching for me. She spends a lot of money just for news about me, just to hear anything, just to know I am alive. In the prison, I met a lot of people that I never would have dreamed about. Minister of Education, high-ranking military officials, famous people. I met them over there. At some point, Father Assad got a lot of pressure from the United Nations, and he let some of us out. I was low profile, so I was one of the ones allowed to leave. I got out, and I went to school, and eventually started a travel business. Some of the same types of high-profile people that I met in prison were the types of people that would use my service. I started a lot of people with traveling into Europe. A lot of those people were rich with good education. They entered Europe with $500,000. They get over there and refuse to come back. That wasn't the plan when I booked the travel for them, but I didn't have any control over whether or not they chose to return. Eventually, the government started watching my business and targeted me as someone who was helping people get out of the country. There was pressure on my business and pressure on me. It was really building up. I could not go to prison again. I could not bear it. So one night, when an insider told me that I must get out right away, that there was no time to wait, I escaped to Europe, leaving my wife, 5 months pregnant, behind. My intention was to let things cool down while I was in Europe and then go back for my wife. That was until I found out there was still pressure to find me. There was a letter going around that says, "Wherever you find him, arrest him." While I was in Europe, I went to the United States to visit my cousin. I had no plans of living in the United States, but I was encouraged to visit a lawyer while I was there. We talked, and she told me that I had a case as a refugee. She knew what I knew. If I go back, they will kill me. It was a long process, but I was able to seek refuge in America and bring my wife and daughter here as well. I don't like to talk about my time as a prisoner or all of the dark, difficult things that I experienced. I like to tell people about what life can be like when you have a chance at freedom. I feel an obligation to help refugees as they come here now because I know what they have been through. It's horrible, running, escaping in the night, leaving your family behind, hoping to see them again one day. Refugee camps, loneliness and fear. And then getting here, starting over, not knowing the language, no job, no car, learning how to make it in a foreign land, but doing it so you can have a chance at life. I have seen some of the worst of mankind experience some of the most difficult and brutal things that one person can experience in a lifetime, but I have not lost my faith. I have not stopped believing. If anything, I believe stronger. I believe harder. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Well, that was Seek Refuge. And if we could, Hannah, this, anything you'd like to add to the story? Maybe something that wasn't in there that could maybe give a little bit of context?
Sure. Well, let me just tell you about how this story happened to me. One thing that I always find interesting when I tell people that, like, I do storytelling is how they immediately, like, want to just open up and start telling me their stories. So, essentially, I went to a meeting where someone was asking me for some information about helping with the refugee situation. The refugees were coming over here into our city. And so they were asking me about access to some resources. And while I'm at the meeting, there's this man there, and we start talking. And he, you know, I'm telling him about Shahada stories and inviting him to the show. And he says, well, let me tell you, you know, my story. And he tells me this incredible story. And it was the thing that I remember, you know, the part, Jamal, where you shared about him having like the slit in his tongue where they like cut his tongue and they put burn marks on his hands and stuff. They were still there. Like, I could see the slit down the middle of his tongue from the time that he spent, you know, as a prisoner in Syria. And it was jarring. Like, and the other thing that was also very interesting to me is he told me he could tell me much worse, but he chose not to exist in that space. He wanted to make sure that he was sharing the story with me as I shared it with the people to know that his faith was essentially renewed through the things he experienced. And it just really put my entire life in perspective. You know, the things that we find to be difficulties or that we complain about every day, like, it doesn't, you know, I try not to negate my experiences and my feelings, but like, some things are just not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? When you're going through this type of thing, like, he had to leave his pregnant wife. So anyway, that's the background essentially of that story. I wrote it that day and it ended up in that live show that was like 2 weeks later. It had to, because it's just, it's an important story, but it's really an important story for what we're dealing with now with, you know, y'all's president and everything. So it was jarring in a lot of ways. What did you feel like sharing it, like reading his story?
Well, what I felt was, and we were talking about this a little bit earlier, is that it's weird to me to like to read a story like that or to hear some other stories, and they're sensational stories. I mean, I love a good Shahada story, but sometimes I feel, I don't know if I feel left out or I feel like, you know, like, why is it so easy for me? Like, why is, because, you know, my shot of story might be broken down into, like, you know, like, hey, I met somebody at work and they told me about Islam and I just started reading some books. Whereas you got a guy like this that's telling a story, he's, you know, taking a plane out of the country. Like, this is like some, like, Syrian Indiana Jones or something right here. Like, he's jumping on planes, going to Europe and going to the United States and, you know, he has a wanted poster out with his face on it, you know, back in his home country. He can never leave. And I'm like, it's just wow. It's just amazing, like, you know, the journeys that Allah takes people through, mm-hmm. and where they start out and then where they end up. Like, the one thing I kept wondering was, like, I hope he went back to get his wife. Like, I hope that, you know, it wasn't one of those stories where he never is reunited with his family again, never sees, you know, his extended family. Did he ever get to see, like, his extended family, or is it just his wife and child?
Well, I don't know about the extended family, but I can answer the other question. Yes, his wife and child did eventually make it to the United States. So they're here in the U.S. with him. It was not a right-away thing, though, so it took time. You know, I do believe sometimes when I'm doing like storytelling classes, right, and there's a group of people there, there's always somebody who feels like their story is not enough as compared to the other people who are in the class or whatever. And I always say that, like, you know, God assigns to you what is supposed to be for you. You know, he went through those things for whatever reason, because that was that's his story, you know? And you know, it's easy to get caught up in that, like, maybe my story is not as important or not as valuable, but it is. Like, you know, we all go through the different things that we experience because we're supposed to experience those in that moment. But I do understand what you're saying, because sometimes not only is there a feeling of, like, am I, like, not out here doing the things I need to be doing in the world, but also a feeling of guilt, like, the things that I've experienced are nowhere near as difficult, you know? You should be suffering more.
You need to suffer a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Yeah. But, yeah, this story was, like I said, it was very important for me. It's one that hopefully I'll continue to share far and wide. I've done a couple of other, ironically, like, Syrian stories. I've had interviews from those, so we'll be sharing some of those as well in the future. But, yeah, that is Seek Refuge. Great job, Jamal. All right. All right, Shahada Story Friends and Family, that's our episode for today. Thank you for taking the time to listen with us. We hope that you will follow us on our social media pages. So hit us up specifically on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/ Shahada Stories, SHAHADAHSTORIES. And like the page, and also make it where our posts come up for you so that you can see when we post a new episode. For me, on my personal pages, I'll be posting about Shahada Stories all the time. So you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at I Am Hannah Hassan. So IAMHANNAHHASAN. I would love to connect with you on social media. We ask that you spread this as far and wide as you possibly can. We want to make sure that we are putting the stories of Muslims out there from the voices of Muslims. And we want people to understand our lifestyle, who we are, and why we choose faith. So if you want to be interviewed for a Shahada story, I would love to do that. You can either shoot me a message on Facebook or send us an email, shahadastories@gmail.com. And we will arrange a time to do a phone or a video chat. And then if, you know, your story sort of fits what we're looking for, we'll write it for the podcast. And it might appear in one of our stage shows as well. We wish you all the best this Ramadan. And we hope that your fast is going well and that you'll join us again very soon for the next episode. All right. Have a great evening. Assalamu alaikum.